the United States pledged to defend Japan should it come under attack. That's the deal. In exchange for that, Japan has provided the United States with access to bases on the archipelago. The Japanese are not required by the terms of this treaty and by the terms of this alliance to defend the United States. So this is asymmetric at its core. In fact, as recently as 1981, even the use of the word alliance, or the use of the word alliance by a prime minister, forced the resignation of his foreign minister. So there were times, even in living memory, in very recent living memory, when you couldn't even use the word in Japanese. The word in Japanese is dōme. Now the word is used, but the alliance structure hasn't changed. That said, both countries benefit. The United States benefits from having a reliable ally in the Far East that allows it to position its forces far from the American mainland, forward deployed, with the ability to use those troops where it wishes. So it has what has often been referred to as the unsinkable aircraft carrier in the Far East. That's of enormous benefit from U.S. geostrategic perspective. It was a particularly important benefit during the Cold War. Japan benefits in a different way. Japan benefits by getting a cheap ride on its national security. That is, it's not spending and has never spent nearly enough to defend itself on its own. Japan will not be able to stand on its own without the United States until it becomes a nuclear power. And it's not going to become a nuclear power until and unless the United States, in my view, makes the mistake of failing to demonstrate its commitment to Japan's defense. Standing on its own in a nuclear-armed world, in a region, in fact, where there are two nuclear powers that don't belong to the Non-Proliferation Treaty, is a dangerous business.